It was the winter of my second year of residency, that time in training we've all experienced. The proverbial light at the end of the residency tunnel seemed very far away, and I was tired, physically, emotionally, and mentally.
That's Molly Hartridge. She's a senior resident in emergency medicine at the USC program in Los Angeles. And Molly shares a very, very personal story. It's part of a longer talk that she does on kinship, but I think it's something that so many of us can relate to. We've borrowed a small snippet for MRAP.
Being with people is where I really shine, and I'm proud of that. I'd worked in clinics for many years before I went to medical school, and I developed a bedside manner that was frequently commended and commented on. It felt great. Advocacy for patients is why I love medicine. But last year, my compassion ran out. Like, really out. This was a huge problem for me. I'm not the smartest in my residency, nor the most adept at procedures. But I say this earnestly and with pride. What I am really good at is compassion. Being with and advocating for patients. My compassion started to disappear a few months into my second year of residency. Booth after booth of drunken head whacks, psych boarders, pan-positive review of systems, jail malingerers. It just wore me down. I also developed severe anxiety that I was missing something big on every single patient and sending people home to die in their beds. I had challenging conversations with consultants, a handful of missed intubations, and then those nights where you put in every IV because... Doc, he says he's a hard stick. It all chipped away at my bandwidth. I was broken down by my own self-loathing, shame at my impatience with my patients, my colleagues, and especially myself. I had florid imposter syndrome and a feeling of deep loneliness, even in a crowded ED full of patients and colleagues. I tried to get in and out of work as fast as possible, which meant no space for patients, empathy, connectedness, or joy at work, or after for that matter. I lost the desire to connect with people, and I was losing a grip on my relationships with family and friends because I was so caught up in the disconnect I felt at work. I was seriously contemplating leaving medicine and thinking about what else I would do after residency that was not medicine and what the hell I was gonna do with $400,000 in debt. I often drove home from work crying, despondent, furious, disappointed in myself. I knew this wasn't sustainable for me. So I problem-solved my misery, and I figured out that I was the limiting factor. I was the thing that was stagnant in this pit of self-loathing and self-pity. I needed to change the way I thought about and interacted with my patients, colleagues, and most importantly, with myself. I did a lot of things. I talked to a lot of people. I basically wore down my fingernails, clawing my way out of that hole. But the concept that I focused on most during this recovery, kinship. Father Greg Boyle is a Jesuit priest and the founder of Homeboy Industries, an internationally known organization based in LA that uses social enterprise to provide assistance to at-risk youth, gang members, and formerly incarcerated individuals. His headquarters is in the same catchment area as my hospital. In his book, Tattoos on the Heart, he writes, "You stand with the least likely to succeed until success is succeeded by something more valuable, kinship. You stand with the belligerent, the surly, and the badly behaved until bad behavior is recognized for the language it is, the vocabulary of the deeply wounded, and of those whose burdens are more than they can bear." Facilitating kinship for patients and their families as a manifestation of my role as a doctor was the initial boost that helped me come out of a dark space. With that, I moved on to how I could get my feelings of belonging back, to experience family and teamwork again at work. The community that I am part of on shift can make or break 12 hours of my day. The relationships that I am cultivating at work over these 4 years are those that I rely on during the supremely awesome and supremely difficult days in residency. And I imagine those beyond residency as well. Opportunities to cultivate kinship are everywhere at work. Kinship is your colleague who feels like family. The ones we confide in about fears, shame, inadequacy, mistakes, joys, and accomplishments. And those we comfort when an intubation doesn't go well or when things aren't going well at home. We form kinship bonds with our clinical team when we are resuscitating a patient or working a tough or fun shift, or when we talk about the secondary trauma of being a provider. We seek comfort in our seniors when we are doing something new and terrifying, like carrying the code bag for the first time. And we stand next to our juniors when they are putting in their first central lines to reassure and guide this new task. When we stand together, celebrate the triumphs, and talk through the failures, we are creating kinship. The last element I reclaimed in my quest to find joy and meaning again at work was cultivating kinship between the patient and me. Kinship is comforting and trust-building for the patient, and for me as well. When I feel my energy being sucked by a patient and my empathy starts to dwindle, I tell myself a mantra that I learned from Greg Boyle. Bad behavior is the vocabulary of the deeply wounded and of those whose burdens are more than they can bear. What he calls bad behavior is symptomatology. Just as Kussmaul breathing, vomiting, acidosis point to DKA, the combative, uncooperative, altered, intoxicated patients show me the manifestations of trauma, severe mental illness, substance use disorders, and the years of living at the margins that land people in a dark place and then in my booth. Now, every interaction I have with a patient is an opportunity for kinship. I seek infinite empathy, and when my empathy is no longer conditional, when I choose to enjoy every conversation I have with a patient, when I try to make him crack a smile or work hard to be the best part of her bad day, I have better shifts. I feel more fulfilled at work, and I feel like a better doctor. Thinking of taking care of patients this way, providing kinship in the hospital, with and for their families, rather than thinking of my job as a litany of tasks and orders, became a key distinction for me. I didn't study more. I didn't become smarter. I simply connected. I also leaned heavily on my family, my partner, and certain seniors and attendings. One of my seniors encouraged my aggressive self-care rather than my aggressive self-loathing and constant studying, which for me only fueled the imposter syndrome. Talking about struggles of belonging, burning out, and feeling inadequate were integral in adding meaning to this experience. I had a lot of fear that I would appear weak discussing my struggles. Would my vulnerability reinforce what I thought everyone was thinking, that I wasn't cutting it? But an amazing thing happened. When I opened my ears and my mouth, I heard that what I was experiencing was not unique to me. I felt less alone and more connected, less fearful and more confident that I probably wouldn't kill every single one of my patients and that I was doing a good job of taking care of them. And not because my attendings told me I was, because I could see it on the faces of my patients again. The meaning in this beautiful work was returning, and connectedness appeared everywhere I looked. There is comfort on both sides, I think, when we connect tenderly with our patients, their families, and with one another. Because we are not only witnesses to the burdens of illness or caretaking, we are part of the story. Kinship has given me incredible insight and meaning that each of us does belong here, and we belong to one another.